When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We worship you, Father in heaven. We praise you, Lord. We bless thy holy name. We thank you, Father, for this time. Once again, we approach to you, Lord. Into thy throne, Father, in thy presence, sitting with Jesus Christ, our Lord, in heavenly places, Lord, to hear what you have to say to us in this generation of time. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We ask for your blessing now as you approach thy word, that you open up, Father, our mind once again to the understanding of the things, O Lord, that you want to show us, Father, that we may mature, may grow in the faith, Father. We ask for your grace now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, let me just say something as we go into the book of Exodus, where we left off. If you look at the world situation today, it has become really bad. You will be reading it in a newspaper. You will be hearing it on the news media, on TV. And perhaps you will be having, you know, people approaching you and trying to make you understand about the environment that is now getting into a very chaotic state around the world. Not only that the earth is destroyed by mankind, and now we have all the politicians around the world, the scientists, the environmentalists, all trying to work together and trying to, you know, cut down global warming. And they're all predicting this will happen and that will happen. It already happened. You know, out there in one island, I can't remember the name of that nation now, it just slipped my mind. Out there in the Pacific, they have, I don't know how many number of islands they have. You know what happened to that? Those islands, many of the water rises up so fast in the last few years that all those houses, they were very near the beach. They were all gone. The water just rise up 3 feet. And the houses are destroyed. Nobody could leave. The island just come under water. And just imagine that. You think, oh, it's just an island. There are all these islands out there. You know, in the Philippines, there are 7,107 islands they have. But I guess if the government is going to count them all over again, do a survey, I believe many of those islands are already gone. You know, and why is our government afraid of the flooding here in Singapore? They're calling the expert from Holland. You know, Holland is a land that is lower than the sea level. And so they have built all these dikes. So now they're asking the expert how to prevent Singapore from getting from being flooded. So how to construct a dike. I hope they do it quickly, because very soon it's going to be a disaster. I will know what's going to happen. And not only that, we see nations all with their own problems. And in London, they could have, well, in the last 2-3 days ago, you know, they could have a big disaster because they found two cars with explosives that didn't go off. You know. And here we see the world fashions coming into a real weird, you know, like we are seeing demons from hell. And you know, if you go down the streets in Orchard Road, out of all the young people that walk the streets, 1 out of 3 perhaps, maybe 1 out of 4 at least, you will see young lady exposing their breast. Or they would have a blouse that is high and they wear a jean that is low down as if it's going to drop off. This is the world today that is chaotic, that is mad, that is crazy.
And the Bible tells us the bottomless pit is opened up, and that's what we are seeing. Demons are let loose, influencing the people. And the gospel, for the last 50 years, the gospel has been so watered down, the gospel. You know, if you hear people preach, if you go and listen to what is being preached, they talk about prosperity and God is a millionaire, want to be a millionaire, and so on like that. Not only that, they say God wants to make you happy. God sent Jesus Christ to make you happy. No, God sent Jesus Christ to make you miserable. To make you aware that you are a sinner. But you know, they send this gospel, oh Jesus, they send missionaries to Africa, to the Philippines, to places where the gospel has not been for the last 50 years. But, you know, they want to penetrate deeper and deeper. And instead of preaching the real, true gospel, they are trying to make the people happy. Trying to preach the gospel that, you know, God loves you, do not want you to be happy, you don't should not be living in this condition and that condition and all these things. Let me tell you one thing. The Bible said the whole world sinned against God. And if you are a sinner, all we know, we need to realize that we are sinners. Then can we ever be saved? But you know, the gospel that is being preached is like, oh God, you know the song we sing, He knows how to make us happy. We know that is secondary. That is not primary. Isn't that right? We are here today. The Bible says judgment begins in the house of God. God comes here not to make you happy. He's to judge. To make us aware that we are in the condition that we need to get closer to the Lord and more mature than the Lord, perfect ourselves in the Lord's word. Amen. And we think now, yeah, we can sing songs like many churches, you know. They come here, they have a social gospel, have a rock and roll music and disco kind of music, and they feel good. Yeah, God want to make you happy. Yeah, you're happy today, you feel good today. Yeah, I know what joy is, right? Joy that is real inside, not the outside. God is not coming to change you on the outside. We are living in a world that is called cosmo. That's why we have the word cosmetic. And you know what cosmetic is? You go down to the department store, you want to buy something, and here was a lady that comes to you, or a salesman that comes up to you. You know, he butter you up. Or you feel good. You are being cosmetized. You know what I'm talking about? Then they put on a show, you know, and you feel good, and then you feel like you're worth a million, you're a millionaire walking around. Yeah, yeah, everybody say, I'm just thinking about it, you know. You ever been to a shop where you want to buy something? Perhaps something that you want to buy that's worth $500, and that's about a budget that you want to, and then you go to a shop there, and the salesman come up to you and say, yeah, you're interested in money? I can show you a better one, you know. Oh, yeah, sure, but look, let me look at it. He butter you up, he tell you all the nice things. This model is $1,000, you know. But there's so many functions here, and this and that, this and that. Then you look at it, yeah, think about it. Then in your heart, actually, you don't have that money to buy. But because he cosmetizes you, you feel that you're worth a lot, you feel that you're real rich, you know. You know what I mean? The impression you want to give the salesman. I tell you what, I come back tomorrow, and I go back and think about it, I come back tomorrow. You know what I mean? I say, yeah, sure. Sure, sure, you can think about it, and we see me tomorrow. You know, here's my name card and so on. You know, everything is all on the display. That's what cosmetic is. That's what the cosmo is. It's a whole worldly system. Everything is on display. Look at the churches today. Isn't that what it is? Everything is an outward show. This whole world belongs to the devil. The system, everything belongs to the devil. All the pattern is all nothing but cosmo. Big church? No wonder the Bible said, in the last church, I'm rich, I need of nothing. I have this and I have that, I have no need of nothing. Don't I look good? Don't our church look good? Yeah, we have nice pew, we have nice organs and guitar and all the drums and great singers. And everybody dressed like a millionaire. Isn't it good? Sure, isn't it? Just like a woman putting on cosmetic makeup. Take that layer off and see what happened. Stick that layer off and see her real face. Isn't it? That's what it is like. I know we are here, you know, the gospel is so watered down, truth has not been preached. And that's the real problem. How can we walk the narrow way? How can we walk the straight way if all we look at is the broad way? And we're only interested in walking the broad way. Everything is just the world. Feel good. Make us happy. Now, we are here, brothers and sisters, to be judged by the Word of God. We are here to realize that God is real. And that is exactly what God was dealing with Israel. He promised Abraham. He chose Abraham. Bless him. Make a covenant with him. That he will have a people. And this people will belong to God. But the people that came out of Abraham, all those 12 sons that came out of Jacob, who came out of Isaac, who came out of Abraham, those 12 were different from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And somehow so God had to put them into Egypt. And they feel that, wow, after all, they have everything in Egypt. But you know, there comes a time God has to try them, just like He would try us. And their life was so miserable. You know, wow, God made us happy, didn't He? When our father, in the times of Joseph, they have plenty. This is our land, this Goshen. They just forgot about God. You know, people, when they have everything, they don't think much about God. Many people are like that. And they're miserable, they're miserable, they cry and cry. Okay, God says, I'm going to take you out now. When God took them out, you know what? They keep looking back, just like Lot's wife. Keep looking back to Egypt. And do not have the faith of being led by God. Now, we are all going through trials. Can we be led by God? You know, we are not following God blindly. We have the sure word of prophecy. Amen? We have the sure word of prophecy to guide us. And so the life of Israel came out of Exodus. You know why your life is miserable? It's because basically you're not looking to the word of God. You're looking to the material thing. You're looking at, oh, if only I have this, if only I have that. Huh? Many of us wish we have this, we have that. I believe that many of us here wish that we have a million dollars. Yeah. See? We all wish that we have $1 million. We think that we can do a lot of things with $1 million. You know, but if it really comes into your hand, you don't even know what to do. You'll be thinking about this thing, about that for days. You'll be thinking about how to do the money, and you will not think about God. I can guarantee you that. You see? And that's why Sister Hattie Wright is so wise. Ask her what you want. Brother Bema told her. So what do I need? Well, you ask for $1 million, I give it to you here on the table. And God knew that she don't want it. It's not hard for God to supernaturally pop $1 million on the table, you know that. But God is not going to do that. And God knew that she don't want it. Brother Bema said, what about your sister? She's sick. And she said, well, if she's well, she'll come back to health and she will die again. Now what do you want? What I want is salvation of my two boys. That's the eternal. That's eternal. That's why we talk about revelation. We're able to believe in God, not in things that we can see with our eyes beyond what we see. Beyond this earth. Beyond this world. If only Israel could. If only Israel could. Let us go now to the book of Exodus. Now we already seen what last week to prove and to show that the children of Israel, not all of them, actually see the visible pillar of fire. They didn't see a visible pillar of fire, neither did they see a visible pillar of cloud. And we can continue following the next few chapters and we can see the same thing happen. So I want you to take your mind off traditional, teaching that we all have And just look at it again. The pillar of fire. And we will see what this image is, what we want to look at. Now this pillar of fire, now we know that's an artist's impression. I mean, a very good impression. Pillar of fire. Let's imagine in the night, in the sight of about 4 million people. We don't talk about 6 million, eh? We talk just about 4 million. Everywhere people, as I said this before, some estimate as little, at least 2 million, but some estimate to 6 million. Let's just put it 4 million. And if they all this number of people could see this pillar of fire, wow, the whole night, all coming out here. Just imagine, how could they have lost the faith? And I said this, if they really see the light, the fire, in the night, and in the morning it's a pillar of cloud, for 40 years, they wouldn't have lost the faith. Huh? So it's not something that is literal to the eye. Let's just approach now, let's continue. In chapter 18 here, we love about in chapter 17. Here is Jethro, the father-in-law of Moses, came to visit him. And along with him, he took Zipporah, Moses' wife, and also Moses' two sons. And when they came down, Jethro and Moses and Aaron and the elders, in verse 12, sit together and have communion after he took burnt offering and sacrifices for God. Now, in verse 16, verse 13 onwards, here we have the record that tells us that now God began to put a system in his own dealing with Israel. Now I want to tell you this, that there is a difference between the system of God and the system of man. Do you understand that? So what man is doing, they are trying to copy God, but they bring it into their own system. And that's not what God wanted. Now we have the system of man, they appointed apostles, appointed somebody to be a pastor, appointed somebody to be an evangelist. Now we don't believe in that. It is God's appointment. Now Moses was a person who loved the children of Israel. He cared for them. And every time that there is a complaint, he will sit and listen to this complaint. Actually, from morning till night, every day, there will be so many people that came up to him and complained to him about this problem, that problem. Now, just imagine that it's about 4 million people out there. And so much so, it came to pass in verse 13, it says, on the morning that Moses sat to judge the people, the people stood by Moses from the morning until the evening. Just imagine the whole day. When Moses' father-in-law saw all this that he did to the people, he said, what is this thing that you would do to the people? Why sit thou thyself alone and all the people stand by thee from morning unto evening? Moses said unto his father, because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another. And I do make them know the statute of God and his law. And Moses' father said unto him, the thing that you do is not good. You will waste your son away. You know what I'm saying? You take this upon yourself. You will tire out. You will grow old faster. You'll get more gray hair upon your head later. You know, you will wear yourself away. Both you and these people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for you. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now to my voice. I will give you counsel. Don't forget that Jethro is a Midianite. Here is the Midian is the fourth son of Abraham's concubine, whose name is Keturah. So now you must remember that Jethro therefore was not an Israelite. You understand? He therefore would be considered a Gentile, so to speak. Because when we talk about Israelites, it's only those that come out of Isaac, Jacob, and those 12 tribes. You understand that, don't you? Alright? But he was a priest, so he got wisdom. He had wisdom. So when you see this, he said, now, Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou may bring the causes unto God. So, as far as it is, you stand before the people and God. That is what you should do. And thou shalt teach them ordinance and law, and show them all the way wherein they must walk, and work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And of course, Moses looked at it and says, good. So he followed through. Alright, and in verse 26, and they judged the people in all seasons, the hard cases they brought unto Moses, for every small matter they, this one that are rulers, will judge themselves. Now, this is the beginning of God setting up a system that He is able to be able to govern the people of Israel. Now, when we look at this, let us go a little bit and see over in the book of Numbers, chapter 11, verse 10 to 25. Numbers chapter 11, 10 to 25. Now Moses had the people whip throughout their family, and every man in the door of the tent, the anger was kindled greatly. Moses was displeased. No, sorry, verse 16. Not verse 10 onwards. Verse 16 onwards. Verse 16 to 25. Or we just read about verse 16, a few other verses will do. And the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, and officer over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with you there, and I will take this of the Spirit which is upon you, and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you, that thou may bear it not thyself alone. Now go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 27. And here Moses with the elder of Israel. Now this is where the elders now comes in. Alright? Of the people saying, keep all the commandments which I command you. So now you see that God told Moses. Now you know that Jethro told Moses to take men, so that they could be ruler over thousands, over hundreds, over 20 tens and so on. But we do not know how many of these rulers there are throughout a people of 4 million. 2 to 4 million people. But I'm very sure that God told Moses to take 70 able ones. Then from these 70 able ones, then we have the lower subdivision. Do you understand that? So what we have now is like Moses is the judge, the chief judge, so to speak, the higher court, then the lower court of the 70s. Do you understand? And all the others who are rulers of a thousand of hundreds or tens, they are all the subordinate. They are all the lowest of courts. They are the complaint courts, so to speak. Now this will not wear out Moses. And this is what we see also in the church today. When God chose a fivefold ministry, out of which therefore in the church He placed elders. Yes, that right? To help minister along with the fivefold minister, the pastor. Then the deacons will serve the table. Do you see the way that God works on this? Then there in the church, as the Bible said in the book of Corinthians, there is helps, administration. And anybody who could do anything, they can help. That's how it goes right down. So it frees up the time of the ministry, for the ministers to do their administration of the Word of God and the work of God. So this is where we see the beginning of how God set up a system. Alright, go back to, let's go to Deuteronomy 16. And there's another part here. Deuteronomy 16, verse 18. Judges and officers shall thou make thee in all thy gates, which the Lord God gave thee throughout thy tribes.
The day shall judge the people with judgment. Thou shalt not wrest judgment. Thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift, for the gift do blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. So again, Moses was admonished to choose those that are not corrupt, though they don't eye gifts and so on. We know that, you know, it's every time you see in certain country in the world, people get, the officer got bribed, and you know, the righteous judgment doesn't come in then, when the person's eyes are on the gifts. Okay, right now let's go over to chapter 19. Here we have Israel coming to Mount Sinai. It said, in the third month, when the children of Israel were gone out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. Now, where is Sinai? Where is Mount Sinai? Let's look at that. They are crossing the actual place. Now, as we said, we know that in Goshen, up there in Goshen, that's where the children of Israel were living at that time. Then God get them out of Egypt. Now, we know that the crossing, the Red Sea crossing, cannot be around here. Because if you look at the Bible again, you read it carefully, it doesn't make sense. The time frame does not blend in. It doesn't actually, what we would say, goes parallel with what the Word of God said. If we were to say that the Red Sea crossing is here. And then of course, in the traditional view, or traditional teaching, they said they cross here, and then Mount Sinai is somewhere here. But by looking at the Bible carefully and really read it and trace it, and today they found that there is this place right here. They found wheels of chariots in that area. And this is the place where now people have the idea that they should have a crossing should be in that area. Alright? And then Mount Sinai is here. Now, as I said, the name in those days, back in ancient history, and as we know today, in a country or in a big region like the Middle East, name can repeat itself, or name of a town may have the same name of another town. Do you understand that? So, as I said, if you said Memphis, where is Memphis? Now, are you probably those music lovers who think, oh, Memphis, Tennessee? Memphis is actually originally one of the city here. There you go, right over here. That's Memphis. And it's an Egyptian name. You get it? See? So, don't just think that there are just only one place called Sinai. You know, so they look at and did the research, as I said, they perhaps believe that this is where Mount Sinai is. Because they found a mountain that actually black on top, that is black on top where they believe it is burned out by the presence of God, you know, the pillar of fire. So now, that's where Mount Sinai is, where we sort of look at it and see what today's archaeology have discovered. Now it says here, now in the third month, when the children of Israel were gone out forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. What? When it says third month. Okay, now let us look at another chart. Let us look at the calendar of Israel. Now this is the first month, and that's Abib. Now you know what day was it that the children of Israel left Egypt? What day was it that they left Egypt? They left on the 14th day in the evening, that is to say, on the 14th day, the lamb was slain, then after 6 p.m., that is the 15th of Abib. And then at midnight, after the death angel Passover, they left Egypt. So, we have the 15th of Abib, right there. Now, the Bible said here, in the third month, when the children of Israel were gone out of the land of Egypt, the same day, the third month is Sivan. Now when he says, the same day, now, you know,
At first I was thinking the same day, would it mean to say the same day, the same 15th, that the day that left Egypt, Egypt was the 15th of Egypt, the same day in the third month, the 15th of Egypt of Sebam, that they arrived. That is 13th right here is 15th. That they arrived in Mount Sinai. So it will make 2 months, isn't it? Is that right? But you know, I did a lot of comparisons between all these versions of the Bible. And the word I'm trying to look at in the Hebrew, the word same month. What do you mean by same month? And you know, I realized that it could also mean the first day of the month. Just like, for example, today is the 1st of July. And let's say, assuming that this is not the 1st of July, let's just say that this is the 15th of July. I said, next year, in the month of August, I'll see you. Now, you will not know when, right? You understand that? But the word same does not necessarily mean the same day of the 15th I'm talking about. Because, you know, you ever seen how the Bible in the New Testament said, Maranatha, even so, come Lord Jesus. The word even so, even so. Now we all think, what about even so? What does it so? Why is it so strange? What's it? Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Why the even so? The word even so means to say, you are the one to come quickly. So come quickly. So even means to point to that person. The same, the word same day, same means that particular time. Doesn't mean that particular day. That particular month is actually what it meant. So now when we said this, it would be, when the Bible wrote this, let me paraphrase what the Bible here said. It said, in the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, they came into the wilderness of Sinai. And there are a few translations that actually translate this. It did not mean the same day as therefore the 15th of Abib to the 15th of Sivan, making it 2 months. Now I was wondering why, the reason I want was digging up further research was because the Jewish tradition believed that that commandment was given to them on the day of Pentecost. And I believe their tradition was right, that it was given on the day of Pentecost. As the law was given on the day of Pentecost, so was the Holy Spirit given on the day of Pentecost. Just an opposite. Now we can further look and see how. Now the Bible is kind of way written the way it is written, and God wants us to really dig into it. Alright, let's go to verse 2. For they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness, there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses came up unto God, and the Lord came unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptian, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me, above all people, for all the earth is mine. Now let us come to 1 Peter, chapter 2, verse 9. And I think that will be really corresponding to the Church of God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 and 9. Okay, I'm sorry. 1 Peter chapter 2, yes, verse 5 and 9. You also, as lively stone, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Christ Jesus. Verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who have called you out of darkness unto this marvelous light. And as Egypt was chosen of God and was given the law, so were we chosen by God, but instead of the law, but it was by grace. Is that right? Okay, now let's go back, chapter 19, verse 6 of Exodus. And you shall come and shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. Now, Moses carried the word of God to the people. The people said, yes, we'll do. Then Moses took the word and begged to God. He was a messenger. Huh? You know how he says like that? You know, as if God doesn't hear? No, God heard. Alright. And the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I will come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee. Now listen how the word of the Bible is phrased. I will come to thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and be ready again the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. Now look at the chart again here. Now it says, now, since they come into Egypt, into Sinai, enter Sinai in that particular month. Now, we do not know which particular day it is that they arrived in Sinai. Alright? But we know that any peculiarity that the Lord said here, we have to go forward a little bit later on when God instituted the feast of the Feast of Jehovah. Remember? And this is why we have this calendar. The Feast of Jehovah. And so therefore, by the way that the Jew had their record, we always say Jewish record or Jewish tradition, whatever maybe they will call it, we realize that if we refer to 2 days, you know, when God always deal with Israel, like in the book of Hosea, after 2 days, on the third day, I'll visit you. Is that right? And so here it is, sanctified as saying, third day, I'll come down. So if we want to say that 2 days, it would have to be, you know, a third and the fourth. And the fifth is Pentecost. You get it? Because we know that the third will be the evening that is approaching the Sabbath. Is that right? And so, that would make more sense when we look at the way that it was presented. Later on, as we go on into the Feast of the Tabernacle, we understand more. Alright, so, and also the way that the Bible said it, the way that God wrote it, it says, sanctify the people today and tomorrow, and on the third day, I will come to you in the sight of all people upon Mount Sinai. Now, we have 2 days, like I said, Hosea, 2,000 years, and on the third day, God will go back. And that is kind of a little prophetic into the future. Alright, let's go over to verse 12. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to thyself that you go not up unto the mountain, nor touch the border of it. Whosoever touch the mountain shall be surely put to death. There shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet sound long, they shall come up to the mountain. And the word trumpet, of course, is a ram horn. Okay? And the word also means jubilee. You got it? It also means jubilee. And that's where the bull of ram horn is actually a time of a jubilee, being people being set free. And Moses came down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And usually, you know what? That's the reason why, you know, when we come to the house of God, don't come like, you know, that you are just, you know, sleeping on the roadside and come into the house with hair unkempt and, you know, wear clothes or wear slippers to church. You know, wear more appropriate when you come to the house of the Lord. You know, then I not get an attitude because, oh, you know, in the spirit of God, we come to the house of God, there's liberty, you know, we just don't have to dress so nice. Oh, please. Don't talk like that. When I'm in India, the people as poor as they are, they dress the best. When I was in Africa, those brothers came from afar from the convention. Every day I see them wear the same shirt and same trousers, but they were not dirty. I don't know how they probably wash it in the night and then hang it dry in the morning and they wear it. You know? But they dress their best. It's not a sinner coming to the church dirty and unkempt. That we understand. It will be a joy to see a sinner come right in here. You know, wearing a t-shirt with dirt and everything, you know, come here, maybe with sores in the body. That's okay, that's fine. The sinner doesn't know. You know, and when you come to the Lord, you know, even though you have no money, I believe the saints of God could provide him some clothing. And yet when we are saints of God, we have the money to buy better clothes, something to dress proper, then we should do what we should, dress properly. Don't have an indifferent attitude. When we come to the house of God, we present ourselves before the Lord. And I said this many times. If you are called to, invited by the president to go to Istana Negara, the president's house there, for a meeting, I don't think you wear simple like that anyhow. You will at least get a good shirt and perhaps a tie. If not, then it's okay, you know. And wear something proper. You're not going to wear slipper to meet him and shake his hand. He'll look at you. He'll probably ask you, are you that poor? Maybe we could help you with charity. I will see that the residential committee helped you. Or maybe call some welfare to provide you with a good pair of shoes. You see, it's our attitude, our approach to God on a daily basis. And that's why when we come to the house of the Lord, present ourselves proper. Otherwise, we get into this indifferent attitude and it's really bad. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not like a casual meeting we have on Friday. We just come together, fellowship and discuss. But here on a Sunday, the Lord's Day, we want to present ourselves more appropriately. You don't have to come here in coats. You understand that? You know? You see? So, of course, unless you're in the state. For a minister, they wear coat. And as I said before, when I went there the first time, I don't have a coat. I wear what was the Mosutong's kind of a dress, you know? You know, the kind of jacket. And I was the one, the odd man out in the pulpit. Now everybody looking at it, and Brother Jackson said, no, Brother Gunn, that wouldn't do. You know, so I wouldn't fit in, okay? But that's their culture, so got me a coat. You understand that, all right? So, and Moses brought, let's go back to verse 14. And Moses went down from the mountain unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day. Come not at your wife. Man, you're married. For that night, keep away from your wife. It came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mountain, and the voice of the trumpet. The voice means the sound of the trumpet, not voice as voice. Voice. This is a Hebrew word, means the sound. All right, exceeding loud, so that all the people that were in the camp trembled. What we have is Mount Sinai. Just imagine right now here, a mountain. And God told Moses, you draw a boundary at the base of the mountain, at the foot of the mountain, that nobody crossed the boundary. And nobody touched the mountain, lest they be killed. Stand away from that boundary. Then nobody come near. And then all the people stood right there before the boundary, going backwards, and they see this big mountain out there. And then they found this sun, and there was this big thick cloud. The king, sitting upon the mountain right there. And there were a lot of lightning. You know when cloud comes, you expect lightning and thundering. Lightning was striking and thundering was, you know, and there were ram horns were being blown. And all this noise, you know, I guess people tremble, obviously. Because they haven't seen such an activities before. God created that phenomenon as he came down to talk to Moses. And he said, Moses,
brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. Now you see, to meet with God. Yeah, they come down, let's meet God. And they stood at the hinder part of the, or the middle part, or the foot of the mountain. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke therefore ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered it by the voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. And the Lord said unto Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze upon, to gaze. And many of them perish. Now, again, this is where we know what we said earlier about this pillar of fire. Now, the pillar of fire was right there with them, day and night. Never depart from them. And here was this mountain now, you see all this thick cloud, lightning, thundering, and this smoke and some burning sense, like right around the cloud, behind the cloud. And God told Moses, tell the people, don't come near and try to peep. You know what I mean? Come close in the mountain and see what's under the clouds. You know, the thick clouds is going on, you see all the lightning and the fire and all that. After all, if they have seen a pillar of cloud, fire and all that, why we want to peep under that? That won't make any sense with it. You see. But if we see strange activity like this, people are curious. You understand? Alright, so tell them not to do that, and let the priests also which come near to the Lord, sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And Moses said unto the Lord, the people cannot come up to the Mount of Sinai, for thou charge us, saying, set bound about the mountain and sanctify. And the Lord said unto him, away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee, but let not the priests and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. So Moses went down to the people and spake unto them. Let's go over to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 4. Alright, then verse 10. Now I want you to look here. Here is again another record, part of the same record, same event here. Verse 10. Especially the day that thou stood before the Lord. This is what Moses record telling the people after some time later. The day that thou stood before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said to me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they may live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. And you came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire unto the midst of the heaven, with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude. Only you heard a voice, and he declared to you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments, and he wrote them upon 2 tablets of stone. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statute and judgment, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. Now look at it, the word carefully. Verse 12. The Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the voice of the words. Now, they did not hear literal words. The word voice, as I said, it means noise, sound. It comes from the Hebrew word kol. Alright? It means they heard the sound. You understand that? But you heard the voice of the word, but saw no similitude. You heard some rumbling. That is to say, like a Paul on the day on the road to Damascus. And the Lord met him on the way. Huh? Paul was the only one who heard what Christ said to him. The rest of them said they heard a thunder, a noise. Do you understand that? Okay? So God was speaking to Moses, and Moses was the one that actually brought to the people the word. Do you understand? But the way he described, it just like we always say, you heard the voice of God? You heard from God? Yeah. You know what I mean? In the service, when you hear the message, did you hear from God? Yeah, you heard the message. You heard the voice of God. So it's a way of expression that you need to understand. Do you understand? Only Moses actually received it from the Lord. Alright? Now, let us go also to Deuteronomy chapter 5 verse 1 to 22. Now here is in this chapter 20 first, before we go to Deuteronomy, we are getting the Ten Commandments. We are getting the Ten Commandments here. All right? Over in Deuteronomy chapter 5, here we have also the same record of the Ten Commandments being given. But let us look at chapter 5 and verse 2. The Lord our God make a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord make not this covenant with our father, but with us, even us, who are all of us here alive this day. What covenant did God make with your father? The covenant that God made with Abraham was a covenant of blood. Is that right? But this covenant that God made with Israel, not Abraham, not Isaac, not Jacob, but the children of Israel. What covenant was this? This was the covenant that God said, if you keep my law, I will you'll be to me a peculiar people. So it's a covenant of the law. Do you understand? Now what covenant do we have? What covenant do we have? We have a covenant of the Spirit. You know what? We apply the covenant, the blood. Huh? Is that right? Remember we sing a song, the token? His blood supply, His spirits abides. Do you understand that? When we apply the blood of Jesus Christ, the Spirit comes. And that is the covenant God has with us in according to His Word. The life covenant. It's a living covenant. It's a grace covenant. It is not the law covenant. Now the seventh Adventist still believe in keeping the law. You know what? The law was never given to us, Gentiles. And they're trying to argue, did God, you know, some of the Adventists and all those who law, the Sabbath keeper, they always say, you can find it on a whole lot of the internet. Whilst they will always say, are the Ten Commandments obsolete? Huh? Do Christians not have to keep the covenant or the Ten Commandments? When was there a time or any place written in the Bible that you don't have to keep the Ten Commandments? They will argue in that way. You see one thing, when God made a covenant with Noah, it was in Noah's day. And then when you see the rainbow, oh, you remember, yeah, in those days, the God destroyed the earth and there's Moses. And you see the rainbow, okay, now that's the covenant God made with Noah. Isn't it right? That God said to Noah, oh, no longer, you know, flood this earth and destroy the people. You understand that? And then God made a covenant with Abraham, differently from the one that made with Israel, and the one that we have today is totally different. Because after all, we are not Israel. Anybody by Israeli blood? You know, they said that, you know, you take the blood of the Israel, of the Jew, their blood is totally different from the Gentile blood. Yes. They can even determine one a person whether he's a Kohen. It means whether he's a Levite. You understand that? Yes? You mean you don't believe in that? Huh. We all may have blood in us, but our blood are all not the same. Only that it is blood. Huh? Your flesh and my flesh are different, you know that? Don't believe it, take it, slice it, examine under the microscope. Your hair and my hair are different. That's why some hair are kinky. Examine under the animal microscope, the cells are different. Otherwise, red corpuscles. It's right, but there are a lot of things that inside is different. That's why every one of us has a certain DNA in us. You understand that? You got it? Huh? Very hard to believe. Well, scientists is discovering more interesting facts about a whole lot of things. Did you see, I'm not sure whether it was in the newspaper a couple of days ago, about an animal called the Zoss. You see, the Zoss is not a horse, but a Zoss. Huh? You wonder, when I look at that, you say, hey, is this somebody digitally touched up or what? Because it's kind of peculiar though. You know, when you expect a zebra, with a zebra and a donkey that comes out, yeah, it looks okay, it looks normal, because there's a... But this one, you know,
part of the head, you can see the stripes of the zebra, and the center part of it is white, and the back part of it is zebra. And you say, whether this is somebody painted it up or something. Because genetically, when you mix the cell, it doesn't, this part is horse, and this part is, But the head looks very much like a horse, though. But you still, anyway, people can add it in and then put some zebra stripe. The only thing is to find out whether it's true or not, do more research on it. You see. Of course, a horse and a zebra could mix. No problem, that's true. You understand that, huh? So, take the blood and of the zoos, if they exist, and you'll find that there is a different DNA from that of the horse. Alright, interesting though. Okay. Where are we now? Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 5, right? That's where I was. Okay? Now, the Lord make this verse 3, chapter 5 verse 3 of Deuteronomy. The Lord make not this covenant with our father, but with us, even us, who are all of us here alive this day. The Lord talk with you face to face, did He? Did He talk face to face with the people? As you face to face like this, you see God's face and God see your face. No, it's just a word. Now, face to face means that you are. Just as we can say now, if every one of us here, if God's Spirit moved so strongly, and there was somebody had a vision and described the visions in detail to you right now, and or give a strong, powerful prophecy, and wow, you're moved, and that God spoke to us face to face. You know what I mean? Huh? But there is another expression. God speak to Moses mouth to mouth. Huh? You know what I mean? Mouth to mouth. I had a brand of mine trying to tell me a very strange thing, That God speak to Brother Abraham mouth to mouth means that God put in his mouth, from his mouth, put into his mouth every word to speak exactly God speak. It's very funny, isn't it? You know what I'm saying? It's just like Brother Abraham was a microphone and God is just speaking. You're shutting down. No way. Just don't make no sense, does it? You see, that the idea that people have when they read the Bible, it doesn't mean that. Okay? And the Lord talk with you face to face in the mountain, out of the midst of the fire. I stood. Now listen to verse 5. But Moses said, God speak me face to face. Now in bracket here, the parenthesis make clear to you. You cannot deny it. Moses said, I stood between the Lord and you at that time to show you the word of the Lord. For you were afraid by reason of the fire and went not up unto the mount. Got it? You stood right there at the foot of the mountain. God spoke to me, I took the word and I spoke to you. Got it? That is what Moses meant. And this is why the Bible made clear unto us. Now, we were standing together, all of us, read chapter 20 of Exodus, the Ten Commandments. Shall we stand? There are Ten Commandments altogether. I will say the verses that are connected to it, and we'll read together. Alright? Exodus chapter 20. Now, verse 2 and 3 is the first commandment. Got it? So let us read. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Alright, now verse 4 to 6, it is the second commandment. Let's read. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers unto the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Verse 7 is the third commandment. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Verse 8, 9, 10, and 11 is the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God.
In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughters, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gate. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all that is in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and hallowed it. Verse 12 is commandment number 5. And the rest of it is all one verses altogether. Let us read all of it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God gave thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witnesses against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, or his ass, nor anything that is thy servant. Thy neighbor's. You may be seated. Now, I want to show you here in over in verse 4. Thou shalt not make thyself any graven images or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Now, this is not the full commandment. But there are Christian people today. They say that you cannot have any images in the house, or anything that is made with hand, like a teddy bear, or like an elephant ornament. You know what I'm talking about? Or the picture of the dead father, even. Or the picture of anything. You cannot have it in the house, because the Bible said, thou shalt not have this. But the Bible did not say, thou shalt not. It said, thou shalt not have this, and thou bow them to and worship it. That's what it means. Isn't it? You see, but there are people that go into extreme, take one verse out of scripture like that. The Bible is not verses of scripture. The Bible is just a continual words. Verses are made up by man so that we can have reference to it. We have all kinds of, 2 billion people under this earth, in this earth. On this earth, they are actually called Christianity, are Christian. You have the Catholic, you have the Lutheran, Anglican, Orthodox, Mennonites, you have the Pilgrim of Holiness, the Pentecostal, Charismatic, you have Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, the Iglesia Ni Cristo out there, and you have all the cults and all these things. My oh my. Now everybody have their ideas on what the Word of God is. You know. So is God among them or not? Obviously the Lord is not among all of them. But God is among those that stay with His Word. They have ears to hear what the Spirit of God said. That's what it is and how important that is. Alright, the verse 13 onward. Now when the people saw the thundering and the lightning and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said to Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. When the people actually went to the mountain, and at the foot of the mountain, they saw all this noise and all this, they were afraid. Because they know that God is speaking. You know. And so Moses, we cannot face this thing. We cannot face God. We cannot listen to God talking like this. You just tell us, you know. So that's why you have Moses became the middleman, stood in the gap. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you, to test you, that his fear may be before your face, that you sin not, that his reverence, that you respect him, that you worship him. And the Lord and the people stood afar off. That is, don't come nigh. Today, what the Bible say? Come nigh unto me. Draw yourself nigh to me. Is that right? You see, in those days there were no grace. It was just this law that was given. People were afraid of God. Because they are so far away from God. You know, today that's what I'm saying. Out there in the world, people are sinners. And you know, many of these sinners, they know God exists. But they don't fear God. And how could you bring a gospel and try to say God wants to make you happy? You got to make the gospel to them and tell them that you are a sinner. That you need God. And you don't talk about, oh, you are a sinner. You need God so that you can be happy. No. You see the reason how the gospel is being preached today in among charismatic churches?
Do you see that? You see? So that is not the gospel that we have. The real gospel that we have is that Jesus came to save sinners. And when a sinner rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they knew that Jesus Christ died on the cross, and then know that this sinner, we know that this sinner is bound for hell. And for the sake of Jesus Christ, you know what? God glorified him. Do you know that? To prove, because the sinner reject, they're going to go where they're supposed to go. And Jesus Christ ought to prove it. For his sake, the gospel must be preached to them. And they reject it, that's it. That Christ may be glorified. That there is truly true salvation in Jesus Christ. So the gospel is not to make a person happy. But the gospel is to condemn a person that you were a sinner. And they need to be saved only by the same gospel that condemned you. The same gospel that condemned is the same gospel that saved. Just like the Word of God. The Word of God cuts both ways. It's the word that destroys as well as the word that saves. Is that right? Alright. Now, in verse 22 onwards, here God demands exclusive worship. And the Lord said to Moses, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, you have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. You shall not make with me gods of silver, neither make you gods of gold. And altar of the earth thou make unto me, thou shalt sacrifice thereupon thy burnt offering, and thy peace offering, thy sheep and thy oxen. In all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. And if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it out of hewn stone, for if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou shalt pollute it. Thou means to take just on any stone, don't go and cut it. Thou shalt neither shalt thou go up by steps unto my altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon. That's why the priests later on, you know, in the time of Moses, the priests were told to wear underwears. Okay? To make breeches. You know what a breeches? Well, it's a word, eh? Breeches can be long, short, or anything. So breeches in that time was made like an underwear. And you know, the priests all wear garments, like skirt. Okay? And that's what Moses and all the people in Israel wear. They wear all this wrap around. When they wear wrap around, they don't wear underwears. There's no underwears in those times. There's no, what all these crocodile brands and Calvin Klein and all that stuff. There's no such kind of underwear in those days being sold there. You understand? They're just wrapped around. You understand that, huh? You say, and that's why the priest cannot minister without wearing breeches. You know, so they sew breeches. And of course today people call breeches as trousers. You understand that? Okay. Alright, let's continue verse chapter 21. Now here, let us look at some of these laws here later on that was given here. Now all these different laws that came along, besides the Ten Commandments, God now began to, you know, put His laws to govern the people, to control the children of Israel. Do you understand that? Huh? The law was given to Israel because, you know, they were, you know, I believe with all my heart, if the children would have obeyed God without murmuring, love Exodus, have faith, and follow Moses all the way to the promised land, they would have gotten in without this law. Do you know that? They are murmuring and they're grumbling, they trespass against God. That's what God says, I'm going to give you this law. To keep you in control. Yeah, just like every nation. Huh? Why do every nation have laws? To keep the people in control. Why do you have traffic laws? Huh? So that people like some of you will not zigzag in and out. But you still do it. Huh? When you zigzag in and out, you cut lanes and this and that. Well, if you are caught, you pay for it. You understand what I'm saying? Thou shalt not steal, of course, not because the Ten Commandments was given, but orally, and we know that men are sinners by nature, they will want to steal what not belongs to them. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, thy neighbor's house, and thy neighbor's car. And that's why we have a problem today in Singapore, and everybody that's getting up to be like American and European country. What the James and the Johns and the Toms have, now here in Singapore, the Guns and the Lee and the Tom, they also want it. You understand? Try to compete with somebody else. You know, sometimes you look at the newspaper today in Singapore, and all this report, wow, Singapore has so many millionaires. It's fast rising in the country, there's a lot of millionaires. Every month there's 1 millionaire. Sometimes one month itself, on block sales, there were a few hundred millionaires. Wow, you know that's great? Singapore is a country of money. And here is a young executive officer working in the bank or working in this 20-30 years old. Whoo, drive a car that's worth $1 million. Lamborghini, whatever the name is called. You know, BMW or what else? Wow. You know why I always wanted a motorcycle? You know, I don't want to drive a car. I want a motorcycle. I want a big one. I want one to have 1,000cc, a big bike, you know. A BMW, that's too expensive. You know, I want a big bike so I can go out there and ride on a big bike. Not to show off, but just love a big bike. It's the nature of a person to want to have beautiful thing, big thing, you know. Latest technology. That's why we all have a problem, young people. Watch your young people, father, mother. All these iPod, you see the crazy iPod? Just imagine that guy, Joe Steve, has become a multi-billionaire overnight. Wow. Just because people are crazy, they want it. Some people don't know it. They say, I just want to buy it, I can sell it, make money. See that? And then once upon a time, people collect antiques. People collect junk. Now people don't want to collect junk. They collect the latest toys. Huh? Big toy, this is a big mansion. You know, just the kids playing with it. Men and women are playing with it. Just imagine how the world has come to. And then with all that new technology, the way that fashion is designed in the gadget. You know? So when they design this gadget, they are trying to make it very fashionable for girls. They call it chicks. Huh? Oh, young chicks. Handsome guys. You know what I mean? These are all this cool, man, cool. You know, all this talk right there. And so you get a spirit working on it, and young men and women now, young. That's a great influence in the world. You know, I'm glad that I don't live in this generation as a kid. As a teenager like you, I know you're going through a hard time. Yes, I know. You're going through a hard time. Trying to keep away from all this temptation. Is that right? Some of you just cannot just fall for it. Yes. You know. But I just love my time back in the 50s, 60s. When we were young, what do we do? We just go out there, play marble. Skipping. Climb on tree like a monkey and all that, you know. That's how we do. We enjoy ourselves. Back to nature. But you see, the condition of the world must continue. Now here we see the treatment of servants, right, in chapter 21. Let us just to look to some of them. Alright, in verse 5. And if the servant says, I love my master, my wife, my children, I will not go free, then his master shall bring him unto the judge, and he shall bring him to the door, the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. So this is the treatment of servant. And the servant, on a certain year, of, you know, the Jubilee year, they should be left free, but they want to serve the master continuously. The servant's ear will be brought to the doorpost and pierced, meaning a hole. That's the reason why that's a symbol of slavery. And a sinner doesn't know that. All the little girl, all parents have little girl, pop, make a hole, put the earring later on. Because it's supposed to be a woman. It's supposed to be a girl. And as a girl, girls must have this earring. But it is not true. It's a tradition. It's something that is being passed down. Not realizing that it's a symbol of it. You understand that? Okay? Alright. And go to verse 12. He that smite a man so that he die shall be surely put to death. Verse 15. He that smite his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Wow. Just imagine that. Today we also have a children beat their father, beat their mother too, huh? But in those days if you did this, you will be put to death. Think about it. But today if you do it, the judge will send you to what? Reformation? For what? School of
formative training, something like that. Or put you on a probation. And then verse 17. He that curses father or his mother shall be surely put to death. Just a curse, not just a slap. Just a curse, you'll be put to death. Verse 22. If a man strive and hurt the woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished, according as the woman's husband will lay upon him. And he shall pay as the judge determined. And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. So if you happen to hurt a woman who's pregnant and the child does not die, that's okay. You pay some damage. But if the child dies, you give your life too. Those days, things are serious. And in verse 28, if an ox gall the man or the woman, that they die, then the ox shall be surely stoned, and his flesh shall not be eaten. But the owner of the ox shall be quit. But if the ox were wont to push with his horn in time past, and it have been testified to his owner, and he have not kept him in, but that he have killed a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned, and his owner shall also be put to death. So if you walk through a field and an ox, you know, charge at you and you die, well, the man, the owner of it, is not guilty. But the ox, you know, nobody eat the meat, will be destroyed. But if this ox had done it before, the man were told that this ox did it before, you better be careful. But he wasn't careful, the ox killed somebody, the man would also have to die. Tough law, isn't it? And we all live under grace. We don't even know how tough that law is in those days. Chapter 22. If a man steal an ox or a sheep and kill it and sell it, he shall restore 5 oxen for 1 ox, 4 sheep for a sheep. Oh my, just think about it. You want to steal? The 5 times you pay, huh? That's not cheap. You know how serious that is. Over in verse 18, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. And that's why in America there was a time back then in the early days they went for a witch hunt. And here in Europe they did it. You know, just because you play with some chemical, you know, some, well, maybe you take some sulfur or some potassium or phosphorus and you light a fire, zoom. Oh, you say you're a witch. So they come on witch hunt and you'll be put to death. You see, back in the time of Europe, in early American days, that's why in America, you have this Salem in the, you know, you probably have seen some of this documentary. You see. So some people are just like that, which are, but in those of Israel, if there is anybody who is a witch, a necromancer, a soothsayer, they'll be put to death. Whosoever lie with a beast, they'll be surely put to death. He that sacrifice unto any gods, any idols, as you say, save unto the Lord only, he shall be utterly destroyed. Thou shalt neither vex us, stranger, nor oppress him, for you were a stranger land of Egypt. So, if you are a stranger, don't, you know, oppress him, as you say. Verse 25, if thou lend money to any of my people that is poor by thee, thou shalt not be to him an usurer, neither shalt thou lay upon him usury. So there is the same as somebody here who is poor, say, Brother Gan, can it $200, can you lend it to me? Sure, but I'm going to charge you 20%, I'll be put to death. You know what I mean? I cannot do that. You know, you cannot do. That's the reason why sometimes overseas, some people say, you know, brother, I need some money. Can you lend this? I say, I don't lend them money. I just give them. I says, brother, you asked me for $200. I give you $50. That's it. You can keep the money. Because once a person, you know what? I don't encourage lending. Once a lender, always be a lender. Once a borrower, always be a borrower. And you pity the brother, you keep on lending him, and then he accumulate the money, and he cannot give it to you, you get upset. And that's what happened in the Philippines. One brother did come to that situation. And the minister who lent the money was a minister. Lent me until so many years, couldn't pay. And the brother who lent the money back then accuses him of, what kind of minister is this? It's a shame! And that's why when I went over there, and I heard about it, I give the money to the brother. Without him knowing that it was me who gave it. I asked somebody else to give the money to him. It comes to several thousand pesos. A few hundred US dollars. Just give it to him and so just pay it off. You know. You see, that's a very terrible thing that is being done.
That's the reason why minister come to me and ask, borrow for money. I tell them, God call you. Why are you still borrowing money all the time? Something is very wrong. Live within your means. You know, just the history of one minister away in Singapore did the same. Don't call, just because God called you, you don't have to work. No. You work until such time that you really are free from all this obligation that God wants you to be really going out. And you don't have to worry, God will support you. But you go and borrow money, I say, God called you, and start borrowing money and this and I ask for tithes and offering here and there. Something is wrong with you. God's not a beggar. He called you, He will feed you. He didn't call you, then you better go work. You understand that? And over in chapter 23, here is where the judgment is concluded. And we are, and here is verse 12 of chapter 23. The sixth day thou shalt do thy work, and on the seventh day thou shalt rest, that thy oxen, thy ass, may rest, and the son of thy handmaid, and the stranger, may be refreshed. And that is what God wants upon Israel. The rest of it will come back next week. Most important thing, all this law that Israel were given to Israel, Israel today are still keeping them. They did not realize, of course, that Christ is the one who has already fulfilled it. Because no man can really fulfill the law and be made perfect by the law. But by keeping the law, when God gives them, that they may fear God. Until such time that the law that carries them will bring to them to the place where they will be able to see grace and to be able to see the Messiah. But they failed. Because God blinded their eyes for such a time so that He could come to the Gentiles. And we thank God for that. Without doing that, we will not be here. We will not even know the God of Israel. And don't forget, we are worshipping the God of Israel. It was through Israel that God revealed Himself. You understand that? It is God's way of doing things. So don't ask me why must God do it that way. That is His way. It's God's way to do and reveal things. Because God has always a plan to carry out, to manifest something to the creature that He created, especially to mankind. Because we are in His sight, created in His own image. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord. We bless You. Thank You for Thy word, Lord. We are so grateful, Father, that we're living in this hour beyond the cross, Father. Not before the cross, where, Lord, Your children of Israel, being, Lord, in disobedience, trespassing against Thee, receive Thy law that they may be kept in the way, to walk with You, to understand You, to fear You, that if they draw nigh to You in the keeping of the law, Lord, they will know the presence of God, and that Thou will always be with them. Until such time, Lord, Thy only begotten sons will be manifest to them, just as Moses said, and promised that You will raise up a prophet like unto him, and that out of Israel comes that prophet. And that when they see it, Lord, that they will fear Him and they will hearken unto His voice, because they will know that this is none other than the one that Moses spoke about, in whom is salvation. But Lord, we are so thankful anyhow that here we are by Your grace, that You have temporarily, O Lord, turned away from Israel with this blindness, O Lord, upon them, that You might take the bride out of the Gentiles. Lord, we as Gentiles have for generation, Lord, does not know You. We are just dogs, so to speak, Father. Gentiles are people that worship all kinds of idols and deities, Lord, and not knowing the one true God who maketh heaven and earth. And we are thankful, Father, that You have revealed Yourself to us. And every one of us here, Lord, that know You one way or another, Father, by experience and by Thy word, we are very thankful, Lord.
And we know, Father, the day is fast approaching. The world is just a mess, Lord. In these next few months, this island is going to get hotter. And we know what disaster there will be, Father, that's going to come upon many nations. There are going to be flooding, more storms, more cyclones, more typhoons, more hurricanes, Lord. And there will be many countries too, Father, that will be plunged into a cold spell of winter, Lord. And we are thankful nevertheless, Father, that we have a blessed hope that we look to you. Just be with us, Father. And watch over every one of us now. Even this island of Singapore, we consider it safe. But we know, Father, nature has been damaged. Men have destroyed the environment. Anything, O Lord, can happen. It's only you, Father, that can watch over us. Just as Jesus Christ was with his disciple on the Sea of Galilee when the storm came. And Lord, the disciples were fearful, Lord. But our Lord was in there, and he said, fear not. And help us, therefore, to be in the same thing, Father, in the same way that though this world may be, Father, floating around, and yet the storm is coming. And help us, Lord, to be fearless, Lord, to be reminded, Lord, to know that you are always with us. And that, Lord, to hear the voice of comfort. We thank you, Father. Bless today in Jesus' name. Amen.